Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our analysis of the religious situation of Palestine during the time of Jesus. We have been studying the various types of leadership or people who were at the leadership of Israel in the first century AD. We spoke about the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, and the monks called the Essenes. Today, I would like to concentrate on the priests. They were the most influential leaders, religious leaders of the time of Jesus, the priests. Israel as a whole was considered a priestly people. In fact, at the institution of the covenant at Sinai, it was said, is God's word addressed to the people through Moses. Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. Israel, a priestly kingdom. The whole nation is to be a priest. A priest as a mediator between God and the world, God and men. Two are the major duties of a priest: to bring offerings, prayers of the people to God, and bring God's blessing to the people. That is one of the functions or duties of the priest. But in order that the blessing of God can come to the people have to know God's will and do it. So there is the duty of teaching. The priest should know God's will, God's law, and teach it to the people. So there are two qualities of priests: the teaching and the sanctifying. The one who teaches the people the law of God and the one who sanctifies the people through blessing, through offering sacrifices. And this is what the people of Israel were supposed to do in the world. The people of Israel as a holy people, as a priestly nation. Now, among this priestly nation, one tribe, one group of people were specially chosen. Of the 12 tribes of Israel, one tribe is specially chosen to be priestly tribe. That is the tribe of Levi. And from Levi, one person was specially chosen, Aaron, the brother of Moses. Aaron is the first priest among the people of Israel. And the sons of Aaron were traditionally priests. And as time went by, more and more restrictions came in. And from the time of David, Zadok and his sons became priests. And after the exiles, the Sadducees became a priestly tribe, priestly class. And by the time of Jesus, this priesthood was restricted mostly to the Sadducees. And when we speak about the priests, we have to speak about three categories of priests. You have the high priest, you have the chief priests, and then you have the priests. Now a word about each of the three. The high priest is the supreme authority of the people of Israel. He is chosen by God, and it is only after the exile that the office of high priesthood came into prominence or importance. During the time of the Maccabees, this high priesthood became an object of business, and people were somehow mishandling this office of the high priest. For example, in the second book of Maccabees, chapter 4, we read about three high priests, Onias, who was the officiating high priest, who was later ousted by a certain Jason, who bribed the king Antiochus IV, and bought the office of high priesthood at a very high price. And then later, Onias was murdered, and another person called Menelaus became high priest, paying even a higher price. So during the Maccabean period, high priesthood had come into disrepute. And then the Hasmoneans themselves took over as high priest, Jonathan and Simon, and then later his sons became high priests. During the time of Herod, he started appointing high priests. For example, Herod the Great became king in BC 37. From then on, till the end of Jerusalem, AD 70, in 107 years, there were 28 high priests appointed either by kings or by the procurators. For example, Herod, between BC 37 and 4, appointed 7 high priests. Archelaus, 2 high priests. Valerius Gratus, who was the procurator from AD 15 to 18, just 4 years, he appointed 4 high priests. Agrippa II, who was the king in Palestine, between 59 and 67, he appointed almost every year a high priest, 6 of them. So altogether, in 107 years, 28 high priests were appointed. But if you see the list of these high priests, you notice one thing. Most of these high priests came from very few families. For example, high priest Annas is called also Ananus, son of Seth. He was appointed by Archelaus in AD 6, and he continued for 9 years till AD 15. Then 5 of his sons and 1 of his son-in-laws were high priests, altogether 7 of them from the same family. And Caiaphas was high priest during the time of Jesus, and he was high priest from AD 18 to 36. Caiaphas, high priest from 18 to 36. He was the one who was responsible for the death of Jesus directly. So the high priests were appointed at the whim and fancy of the political leaders. So in order to survive as high priest, they had to toe the line of the leaders. And Rome made it sure that only those who complied with the Roman rule were made high priests. Now, high priesthood was considered the greatest office, the most honorable office among the people. He was the leader of the nation. He was the president of the Sanhedrin. He was to preside over the great council of Sanhedrin. And high priest had to offer sacrifice for himself, for all the priests, and for the entire nation on one particular day, the Day of Atonement. It was only on that day that the high priest was allowed to enter the Holy of Holies of the temple, only on one day, and that with the sacrificial blood and with incense. So high priest, the one person in charge. At one time, there would be only one high priest. But very often we read in the Bible and the Gospels about high priests. So for example, Luke 3:2, we read about Annas and Caiaphas being high priests. Officially, Caiaphas was the high priest at that time. But Annas, who was already a high priest and who had retired because of Roman command, continued to function, continued to manipulate, interfere in the affairs of government, and the real power center was Annas, even though Caiaphas was the high priest. So the retired priests also were somehow influencing the government of the nation. They were mostly involved with the religious affairs of the nation. High priest was one of the richest people among the in the nation. He had the control over the whole temple and the temple finance. And he had the share of all the sacrificial victims, sacrifices, and all the tithes and offerings. He had a share, and the lion's share went to the high priest. So high priest, according to the Jewish Greek Alexandrian philosopher Philo, high priest was the most respected person. He was more worth than the entire nation. He would go on to say that this high priest, the person of high priest, was something between God and man, much more than the whole humanity together. But unfortunately, during the time of Jesus, this high priest did not have that much influence. For example, the costly vestments which he had to wear while officiating as a high priest were kept under custody of the Romans in the fortress Antonia. It was only in AD 45, Emperor Claudius, after repeated petitions, that granted the custody of the high priestly vestments to the Jews. So every time the high priest had to officiate, he had to beg to the Romans to get his official vestments. So the Romans made themselves felt, their presence felt. That is the high priest. Now we come to the second category of people called the chief priests. And there were many of them. Mainly, they were the departmental heads of the church, of the temple. And the temple had various services. One of the chief priests was called the captain of the temple. He was in charge of the soldiers, the temple guards. And it was he who accompanied the temple guards to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. So he was in charge of the law and order, security of the temple. That is the first. And he was the master of ceremonies when the high priest was officiating. The second chief priest, a group of them, they were to supervise the temple services and all the sacrifices and all the department connected with sacrifices. He had to be in charge of distributing various services to the priests and Levites. Then you had the third chief priest, seven of them, holding each one a key of the major doors of the temple. And these keys had to come together, these priests had to come together to open and to close the door. So they were in charge of the, so to say, the security of the people, of the temple. And when we come to the temple, we see temple had various courts and various restrictions, restricted areas where people were either allowed or not allowed to enter. So the chief priest in charge of the maintenance and discipline of the temple. And finally, we have the finance officers, the ones who were in charge of the finance of the temple, buying, selling, sacrificial objects and all. So these were the departmental heads of the temple, the chief priests. These were many of them, many chief priests were there, and they were appointed by the high priest. And mostly they were either relatives or friends belonging to the rich families of Jerusalem. Then finally we come to the priests. The priests were the ordinary people, the ordinary priests belonging to the tribe of Levi. All the Levites were not priests, but all priests were Levites. The time of Jesus, there were about 7,500 to 8,000 priests functioning in Israel. Not all of them had opportunity to offer sacrifices. These priests were divided into 24 divisions, and each division had 1 week's service at the temple twice a year. And it was decided by lots which division should offer on which day. And priests usually come to the temple only once in a week. I mean, when they are there, their duty time for a week, they come to officiate, but the duties are allotted to them again by lots. There are 13 different duties allotted to the priests in the temple, offering sacrifices, cutting animals to pieces, offering incense, or calling people to the sacrifice, etc. And these were all allotted by lords. And the most important and most prestigious duty of the priest was considered to be the sacrifice of incense. And there was a priest also appointed to call the people to sacrifice. Early morning, they rise up and stand on the pinnacle of the temple and shout, "You priests, enter the service of the Lord." That's a cry that goes out from the pinnacle. And is narrated of one particular priest that he shouted so loud that King Agrippa I could hear this priest calling his colleagues to sacrifices at about 16 kilometers away from the temple. And Agrippa was so impressed by this priest that he gave him a particular present. So these were the priests, mainly in service of the temple. And once this weekly service is over, they could go back to their homes. There were about 1,500 priests residing in Jerusalem, and the others were in the country. The city priests were much richer than those who lived in the country. And those who were scattered in the countryside did not even get a chance, not even once in life, to offer sacrifices in the temple. So there had been a kind of difference in status and finance or wealth among the priests also. The priests had their own dues. They used to get a particular portion of the sacrificial meat. They could get a part of the tithes and many other rights. But very often it happened that the officials or the high priest cheated the ordinary priest. And a complaint had been registered by some of the priests saying that the skin of the animals which were sacrificed and the skin which had should have belonged to the priest were taken by force by the guards of the high priest, and the priests were cheated. Such things also did happen in the temple. Well, those priests who could not sustain themselves by sacrifices, they used to provide advice to the people, teaching guidance, life guidance, and counseling in law in the villages. So they made a living of their own in these ways. And finally, we have the Levites. About 8,000 to 9,000 of them. And the Levites were supposed to help the priests in all their duties. They were the temple guards. They were in the military service of the temple, the soldiers. They were the people who were to wash the animals, cut them to pieces, help the priests to offer the sacrifices. And they were the singers, they were the gatekeepers, and so many other duties were expected of the Levites. Both the Levites and the priests, while officiating in the temple, had to be ritually pure. They could not touch anything impure that would make them impure and unfit for sacrifices, for serving in the temple. That might be the reason why in the story Jesus told about true neighbor, two people are mentioned, a Levite and a priest, who saw the person wounded but went the other way. Maybe they thought that this person was dead. And if he was dead, touching a dead body, the person would become unclean. Even touching blood would make him unclean. So a person bleeding could not be touched because that would make the priest and the Levite unclean. So they considered the law of purity more important than the law of charity. And this is what happens very often in the life of Jesus. And that's why he criticizes the priests and the Levites. Not that they were pure, they considered themselves pure and they kept themselves pure, but they considered ritual purity more important than charity. On the other hand, the Samaritan, who did not have anything to worry about the ritual purity, could care for the person lying almost dead on the road. So these are the leaders. The leaders of the Jewish religion. You have the chief priest, you have the high priest, the chief priest, the priest, and the Levites. All these together made the priestly people. All these together represented the people before God. And they were, priestly class were responsible before God for the people. And they were to offer sacrifices, perform all rituals in order to purify the people of their sins. The priests were supposed to perform the ritual of purification, be it of the lepers or any other or illness. They were to offer sacrifices for forgiveness of sins. They were to offer sacrifices for the purification of women after the childbirth, and so on and so forth. So the priests were very much active in the entire life of the Israelites people. Now we come to the central theme of the religious life of Israel, the temple. And that we'll see in our next talk. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son as the high priest, who offered himself, his life, his blood, for the forgiveness of the sin of the world. It is by his one sacrifice that we have been saved of all our sins. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving your life for our redemption. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.